is a professor of political science at Columbus State University in Columbus, Ohio. He has published 13 books and received 13 awards for investigative journalism. And the book of his, perhaps of greatest relevance today, is entitled Star Wars Weather Modification and Full Spectrum Dominance. He's been looking into the development of weapons of the kind that might have been used here in the World Trade Center. Please join me in welcoming Bob Petraeus.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been sidetracked the last 3 years following stolen elections, and many of you may have heard. Tragically, 63.6% of all of the election commissions in Ohio and 88 counties accidentally destroyed their ballots from the 04 election, making the final count actually impossible. Holmes County, sorry to say, a large 10-cup crack of coffee fell, taking out 15,000 or so ballots.
We need to get the signal. Somebody.
That's strong coffee.
Can somebody help me get the signal from the computer to the.
Police at the ballot with Spectrum. Headline November 13, 1997, Wall Street Journal. There's a radical story. Quote. The plan calls for the use of new Russian technology to create cyclones, the giant storms also known as typhoons and hurricanes, to cause torrential rains washing the smoke out of the air of Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. So, not illegal, right? Because it's not being used for military purposes. Note a very famous event. Well-known, in fact, I studied this in law school, on the Environmental Modification Treaty. This is the New York Times, 6577. Again, talking about that great Chinese earthquake, of which, soon after that, the Chinese agreed to the Environmental Modification Treaty. Quote, just before the first tremor, at 3:42 a.m., the sky lit up like daylight. The multi-hued lights, mainly white and red, were seen up to 200 miles away. Leaves on many trees were burnt to a crisp, and glowing vegetables were scorched on one side, as if by a fireball. So that's the New York Times reporting. Note the convention soon after that. Note the next year, 1 year later, May 18, 1977, entered into force in 78, ratified by the U.S. in 79, the conventions on the prohibition of military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques. Note the famed Article 1. Each state party to this convention undertakes not to engage in military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques, having, here's the catchphrase, widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects as the means of destruction, damage, or injury to any other state party. This has come to be known as, you can only screw up the environment militarily for one season. That's how they interpret long-lasting. You can see the second paragraph there. Note what they're talking about, lithosphere, hydrosphere, a variety of other factors. Note Article 3 as well. And here's the loophole. The provisions of this convention shall not hinder the use of environmental modification techniques for peaceful purposes. Officially, the United States would never, and I mean never, engage in the violation of this treaty. Of course, if you go to the TCOM Center, U.S. Test Command Center, as I did, and now since I helped put it on the Internet, since I got in the... It was just sitting around in there. I don't know who left it there. They shouldn't have. They should have taken it down from whatever they were using internally there. But while they officially, the U.S. denies it's involved in weather modification, for example, you have the Tech Technology Symposium of 97. On weather modification, Dr. Arnold Barnes of Operation Popeye fame, with a very famous memo, make mud, not war, to muddy the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And officially, we don't do this. We have no history of weather modification for military purposes. I don't know why he put up a major PowerPoint presentation outlining the entire history. Must obviously be an explanation there. And as part of that, HARP was there referring to it for military purposes. Officially, the High Frequency Active Aurora Research Program has no military application whatsoever as an ionosphere agitation. And any of those notions talked about by Dr. Eastland in Wired Magazine in great detail, and or earlier in patents put forward by Tesla, among others, to the contrary, we should never consider that we would be involved in mooning or moving zonal winds.
Of course not.
I don't know how this potential weather modification capabilities got in here, since it talks about degrading enemy forces and enhancing friendly forces. This is clearly illegal and obviously a mistake, so let me go through this. I mean, why would we artificially create droughts and floods? I'm sure the 10-year drought that occurs only in northern Korea has nothing to do with why it doesn't occur in South Korea. Although the South Korean Times did report that they were negotiating with a U.S. company to help create a drought for the World Cup soccer games a few years back. But what's the South Korean Times know? Again, commissioned by the United States military, weather is a force multiplier, owning the weather in 2025. A research paper that has become, of course, very famous. Thank God, I thank God and Jesus want us to own the weather, God being who he is, and having disproportionately shed his grace on us, it should be up to us to own the weather. Of course, I was running across this stuff before I was sidetracked into the election theft arena, and just let me state for the record, I think there's nothing better than private, proprietary corporations secretly counting the ballot with hardware and software. And every one of you knows you need 1.471 million codes to do simple counting on a computer. And as in Franklin County, where I'm from. And thank God some of the most patriotic families, the far-right-wing Huff family and the Amundsen family, had enough sense to put up the money initially to come up with counting and the use of technology to count ballots. And this occurred right after Richard Lugar blew the whistle that we were winning elections in the Philippines for Marcos using mainframe computers, captured on The Power Game by Hedrick Smith. But I'm sure we would never do it here. That would be wrong. Okay. Joint Vision for 2020. Again, don't mind Joint Vision for 2010. Let's go down to the operative part. The creation of a force that is dominant across the full spectrum of military operations. Persuasive in peace, decisive in war. Preeminent in any form of conflict, even against its own people. Strategic context. Take a look at that very famous phrase there. We're all familiar with, at least I hope we are. What is the goal? Officially, the United States government stands for peace in the world, particularly the Bush administration. That's why I think his grandfather, Prescott Bush, wanted the money for the Nazis to help create peace in the world. I think that's why his great-grandfather, Samuel Bush, gave that unbid contract to Percy Rockefeller for small arms during World War I. I'm from Columbus, where Samuel Bush is buried, and there at Buckeye Steel Castings, where he gave his own self an unbid contract as well for steel during World War I. But full spectrum dominance. Again, there's no such weapons as this, Dr. Fitrakis. Where would we even get these ideas? There might be other weapons out there. Look at this. Communist Bureau Service News. CBS News. Laser weapons in U.S. sites. Note the date, October 20th, 2003. Recall what Brzezinski said. There would be secret weapons that would exist known only to a few. So by the time we get to know it from CBS, we can be assured that they've been in operations, modeled, tested prior to this. U.S. scientists are on the verge of creating a laser weapon that could give American forces an awesome advantage on the battlefield. Okay, contrary to science fiction, note the red, the lasers will not be visible streams of light. Where will they be put on? Smallest to date, something on the size of a commercial jetliner. Making lasers smaller. Again, we learned that Northrop there is already working on one the size of one laser to fit on a single C-130 cargo plane. So, by the time this stuff is announced, like it's already gone in by CBS, it's already gone through Scientific America, Popular Mechanics, Popular Science, and a whole round of testing for usually a decade or so prior to this. And in 20 years, the American public will know that these things exist, and at that point will no longer be called conspiracy theories. How will U.S. doctrine accommodate a weapon that can strike without detection, possibly hundreds of miles away? I don't know. First, we could, U.S. doctrine could start by a little transparency, so that we know we're actually building these things. Okay, U.S. Department of Energy, Research News. Bright future for tactical laser weapons. This is a test taken, see, the bottom says on the URL, April of 2002. They reference a test from December 2001. And this is a minor test. They could take this up with a few changes of crystals about 300 times. Solid state laser. Major breakthrough right around the same time period. Okay. We know though, that what's happening here, that there was a demonstration of white sands earlier, burned a 1 centimeter diameter hole straight through a 2 centimeter thick stack of steel samples in six seconds. That's the small test laser. They had the technology, admittedly, the Department of Energy, to go up profoundly in power. Okay, there's a little portable version for the Humvee. Everyone needs one. And this, dating back to 1996, this is the Joint Mobile Tactical High Energy Laser, which is integrated with the U.S. and Israeli military, that you'll see there, dating back in red to February of 1996 test as well, that was designed to take down short-range rockets. Okay, again, in April 1996, the U.S. agreed to accelerate high-energy laser development. So obviously this means that there were none of these things in place. We were just thinking about them, funding them, testing them, modeling them. Scheduled for completion in 2004. Note the dateline. Since development began in 1996, they admit they put $250 million into this project. Of course, they admit to putting nothing into covert black op drug running. Of course, there's Professor McCoy's book on the politics of heroin in Southeast Asia. There's Charlie Wilson's War on the Golden Crescent. There's, of course, a Dead Gary Webb's book on the Dark Alliance, which shows they actually put, you know, perhaps billions of dollars into drug running black ops. So we know this is officially what's going on. And I think they're looking at it at the Pentagon, but they had an accident there. Oakland Tribune, October 19th, 2003. after sinking 40 years and billions of dollars into beam weapons to send scientists on the cusp of what could be a military revolution, warfare at the speed of light. No, right after 9/11, a year or two after, and in some cases a couple months after, you'll see all of these articles about these new revolutionary weapon systems. Note down here, armed with a beam weapon that is near instantaneous, gravity-free, and truly surgical, focusing in such hair-splitting accuracy. Okay. Again, you can go to SourceWatch. You can look at all the weapons well-documented in the public record. Massive external links. I picked these. Note they're from 1998 to 2002. Tons of articles that are simply out there, but I live in Columbus, Ohio, so they have to take a back seat to the Buckeyes. Now that would get me in trouble. I'm not likely to lose tenure for being here, but if I badmouth the Buckeyes, let me apologize. Panel on deception. Note this back to 1992. How many people are familiar with the documentary Panama Deception, right? Academy Award winning, documented, won the Academy Award. Note the Washington Post at the bottom. Numerous interviews in there. In fact, shockingly, when I was looking at those cards that were posted in the last presentation, a very similar scene in the Panama Deception. It wanted to suggest that chemical weapons and even lasers were used in the invasion. Numerous eyewitness reports that lasers were in fact used during the Panama deception. And I know what you're thinking. You're going to go, what next? You're going to tell me the U.S. was involved or the CIA in the death of the person before Noriega, and Noriega was on a payroll, and you know, they were laundering drug money? No, I wouldn't suggest that. I'll leave that up to the official documents. Operation Just Cause, from the Earth Island Journal, exotic laser weapons that melted human bodies and sliced metal car frames in two. And again, this is from 1989. I wonder if they've made any advances since then. Since we would never break these laws, I think they probably stopped right there after slicing these cars in half and melting human bodies because they knew it was wrong. Again, as I move towards my conclusion, right? Bertrand Gross, back in the 1980s, wrote the book Friendly Fascism, The New Face of Power in America. You know, sort of fascism with a smiley face. Kind of makes you yearn for the smiley face. The military, let's think about this. Number one, we wrongly warned about the military-industrial complex by Eisenhower, among others. By the way, it's well established what C. White Mills, the great sociologist, called the power elite. In a mass society, as we build these large hierarchical organizations, a few people at the top having control. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what next, Dr. Petraeus? You can tell me one of the smallest navies in the world, the North Vietnamese, and the little patrol boats didn't attack the U.S. Navy at high seas unprovoked? Followed, of course, by the security industrial complex. Think Chalmers Johnson, I looked it up last year, the known money was about $43 billion. When I looked it up using James as the great military index, the three largest budgets in the world were U.S. military budget, the Russian military budget at $66 billion, U.S. spy, oh I forgot we don't spy, U.S. gathering of access budget at $43 billion. And that's known budgets. Now it's somewhere in the $44 billion to $48 billion range. And this is going to help us, as I understand it. Say, for example, five Al-Qaeda people learned how to fly here. We would be able to stop them but they tried to get on a plane with boxcars. And we do this by spying on every single American. Finally, you have this massive security industrial complex, which is here today, and I welcome whoever that is. And I'm also encouraging interagency rivalry, so. And I'm also open for leaks. If you don't like some people in those other agencies, I'd be willing to take them out. With documents, not by any other way. And finally, the Prison Industrial Complex, which explodes from the 1970s, right? Let's go back to William Randolph Hearst, great admirer of Mussolini. Yeah? I mean, you need a good war against marijuana. Because you got to have the police doing something, preferably in an endless war. And you now have this massive prison industrial complex. You have this massive military industrial complex. You have this massive security industrial complex, which makes us all want to say the F word. Fascism. That's what it is. And I'm not making any assumptions on what happened at the World Trade Center. All I'm saying is, we know from the public record there were high-tech secret weapons systems, incredibly advanced. In fact, I had the privilege of being the only alternative journalism, thanks to Helen Kellicott, that got into a little gathering of journalists. And you know how you think, well, the journalists are in on it? They aren't in on it. At the end of the day, when we, first of all, we had gourmet chefs, and we could get any gourmet meal we wanted. And you're assigned a military guy and a scientist, and they call you by your first name. I remember, General Horner calling me Bobby. I'm thinking, whoa, I am in the crowd now. He was there. In fact, I got a quote from him right here on the bus to Egypt. And at the end of the day, they make fun of each other, and, you hear tales from, people from Fox and CNN how Rumsfeld's misunderstood. You really ought to get to know him, Bobby. let me leave you with this quote here that Horner gave in May of 2005 at this little gathering. He said, General Horner, I write, disagreed, but concurred that current technology is indeed imperfect. He posed this question. If there was a laser in space with military applications, is it per se a space weapon? I don't know, it's part of Joint Vision for 2020, demanding full spectrum dominance of the planet. You decide. All we know is high-tech space weapons, they're in use, they're lying about them, and they're well established in the public record. Thank you.